Hello and welcome to the Answers for Cancers podcast. I am your host, Anne-Marie Fay.
And I'm Michelle Matthews.
Together with some of Ireland's leading experts, we want to unravel what it truly means to have cancer.
From consultant diagnosis to treatment plans, from managing your symptoms to supports available, we have it covered. So whether you're a nurse working in oncology or have been personally affected by cancer, this podcast is for you. The Answers for Cancers podcast is sponsored by Care Plus Pharmacy. Care Plus Pharmacy is Ireland's leading community pharmacy brand, offering expert advice and services for a healthier and happier you. Find your nearest Care Plus on www.careplus.ie or follow them on social media for health and wellness inspiration and tips. Today on the podcast, we are joined by the lovely Sinead Murta, who is a breast care clinical nurse specialist. Breast care nurses play an extremely important role and are with the patient throughout their journey to provide support and education to patients and their loved ones. We are fortunate enough to work with Sinead, and as one of her patients once told us, they felt comfortable enough to ask her anything, and she showed them immense compassion in a time that was very difficult in their life. Today, Sinead explains to us how to check our breasts. She also explains what to do if you find a lump, and she discusses the surgical side of breast cancer, including surgical options that are available for patients, and how to care for yourself or a loved one after surgery. We hope you get as much out of this episode as we did, and thank you so much, Sinead, for getting involved.
So welcome to the podcast, Sinead. We're absolutely delighted to have you on today to discuss a little bit more about breast cancer. And we might start by just telling us a little bit about your role as a breast care nurse and how you got into it.
Well, thanks very much, girls, for asking me to come on, and well done on your podcast. So really, it was the disease of cancer that drove me to become a nurse in the first place. I had two close relatives that were diagnosed with cancer when I was quite young. So really, there was never a question that it was a career that I wanted to go into. So when I qualified in 2000, I went on to undertake further postgrad study in the area of cancer nursing. And I did part of this training in the Royal Marsden Hospital in London. So this is a specialist cancer treatment hospital. And I gained a vast amount of experience on various cancer wards and cancer units while I was working there. So really, it was the area of breast cancer that always had a particular appeal for me. And I found that from when I worked there. I always felt that it was that these cohort of patients were very, very well supported, and I could really see how they benefited from all the support that they were getting. So I just knew that this was the area that I wanted to go into and that I could see myself working in, and particularly the role of the clinical nurse specialist. I was very fortunate to work with some fantastic clinical nurse specialists during my training, and particularly when I worked in the Royal Marsden. So as a clinical nurse specialist, I would meet patients who've been diagnosed with breast cancer at the onset of their cancer journey. And I would be their point of contact and their point of support throughout their treatment. So this can be, it can be a very rewarding and a very satisfying job. You're dealing with patients that are at their most vulnerable. So I really feel very fortunate that this post became available not long after I returned to Dublin in 2007. And I've been working in the role since.
Brilliant. And we can speak for ourselves. Our patients absolutely love you, Sinead. And you can see the difference, you know, when you've got good care like that for their surgery and then they come to us for chemo. It makes such a difference. And so I might just ask you, I know the most common, I suppose, thing that people would associate with breast cancer is finding a lump. But there are other signs and symptoms. Do you mind explaining to them, to us about them?
Yeah, sure. So as you say, Michelle, the most commonly talked about symptom certainly does seem to be a lump. But there's various other signs and symptoms of breast cancer that it really is important that people should be aware of. So I suppose an example of these would be a change in size or shape to the breast. So such as one breast becoming larger than the other, a change in the skin. So like puckering or dimpling or a sudden onset of redness to the skin. A change in the direction or shape of the nipple. So, for example, if the nipple looks like it's been pulled into the breast, or if the nipple was to become irregular in shape, or certainly if there was any sign of a red scaly rash around the nipple that may itch or burn. Also to look out for any signs of an unusual discharge. So particularly if it was a bloodstain discharge coming from one or both nipples. And any changes then really around the nipple, such as a rash or flaky crusted skin around the nipple. And when you're talking about the breast, people often forget the underarm as well, so that they're checking in under the underarm and up along the collarbone. And I suppose as much as it's important to be aware of all these signs and symptoms, it's really important to stress that just because you have one or more of these does not mean you have breast cancer. Mm-hmm. I suppose the important thing to be aware is that patients or people in general need to be breast aware, and that they're doing regular breast self-examinations. As you can imagine, the majority of patients that I deal with are women, being breast cancer. There's about 3,000 women are diagnosed with breast cancer each year, whereas that's about 25 for men. By nature, as you can imagine, women do tend to be that little bit more pedantic about their health, so mm-hmm. that would certainly be reflected in our clinics. So really, when it comes to breast cancer and finding these signs and symptoms, the earlier your symptoms, the better your outcome. And the less treatment, and certainly the less aggressive treatment patients would need. So early detection is the key, and being breast aware is paramount.
Mm-hmm. And Sinead, if somebody does notice or find any of these changes, what should they do?
So I suppose the important thing just to stress here is that a lot of the breast symptoms we see in clinic, and certainly a lot of the breast lumps we see in clinic, do not turn out to be cancerous. And I suppose I say this really to encourage people that if they do notice any concerning changes, that they get it checked out. So your first protocol would be to go to your GP. So he or she will do a physical examination on you. And if there's anything that they feel warrants further investigation, that they would refer you into a specialist breast centre, to the likes of a triple assessment clinic. So I really do encourage people are doing regular monthly self-examinations. And ideally what you want to do is that at the same time every month, and preferably you want to do this just after your period, because the breasts tend to be that little bit more tender in the run-up to your period. And the aim really is just to become familiar with checking your breasts. So the best way to do this then really is bra off, looking in a mirror. And ideally you want to lift both arms up so you can look in and around both breasts. And you're really just looking out for any signs of rashes or bruises, puckering, dimpling in the skin, any of the changes that I have just previously mentioned. And then in order to check yourself, I would just keep one arm elevated, and then with the pads of the finger of the other hand, you just want to do firm circular motions around the breast, from the nipple, right around the breast, up into the axilla, and up along the collarbone. So it really only takes a couple of minutes. Some patients like to do this in the shower. Some patients like to do this when they're lying down. The main thing is that you're just becoming familiar with your own breasts. I would often meet patients in clinic who say that they don't know how to check, or they're not quite sure how to check. There are loads of easy to follow short videos on YouTube, or certainly what I would say is the next time you're in with your GP, just to get them to show you how to examine your breasts. But certainly, as I say, the key is just to become familiar with your own breasts and comfortable with checking.
Brilliant. Thanks a million. Because actually we had a couple of requests from people through our Instagram just asking if we could get a description of how to do it. So that's brilliant. Thank you so much. Mm. And we'll attach one of those easy videos on our Instagram as well, so that people can have a little look. Would you mind just walking us through, you mentioned their triple assessment. What does that look like for a patient?
So yes, so triple assessment clinics, we run these actually on a daily basis in our hospital. So the triple assessment, as the name would indicate, it has three modalities. So that would be a physical examination, imaging, and a breast biopsy. So a physical examination then would be performed by a specialist breast doctor, and that would be where your breasts are examined. Imaging then would be a mammogram and or an ultrasound. So we only perform routinely mammograms on ladies that are over 35, and the reason for this is that the breasts are too dense under the age of 35. So what a mammogram is then is where the breast is placed between two plates, and a low dose x-ray is used just to take a picture of the breast. So it's usually done in a standing position and usually carried out by a specialist breast radiographer. And an ultrasound then is where gel is placed over the breast and a probe is run over the breast in order to take a picture of the breast. So this is usually done in a lying position and by a specialist breast radiologist. So occasionally then patients will require a biopsy when they come into the triple assessment clinic. So what a biopsy is then is just taking a small tissue sample from the breast. So any patients having this will have plenty of local anaesthetic to the breast just to numb it. And then a small tissue sample, as I said, is taken from the breast. So if a patient has a biopsy, it can take up to 2 weeks before the results of this are back. So it won't be available on the one day. And just to stress here as well that just because a patient has a biopsy does not mean they need to be concerned. We do biopsy benign lumps as well. So just, I know some patients can tend to be a little bit freaked out and they need to have a biopsy, but it doesn't necessarily mean bad. So when you come to the clinic, then you'll be met by a breast care nurse. So she will advise you exactly what you're going to have in what order. So it will depend on the hospital as to whether you have your imaging first or you see the breast doctor first. And we do really understand that patients are quite anxious coming to these clinics. Yeah. They've obviously come to the GP with a concern. So by the time they get to us, they nearly have themselves convinced that they have breast cancer. Yeah. But I suppose the beauty of these clinics is that it's like a one-stop shop. So usually everything is done in the one day. So they'll have a good idea by the time they're going home whether or not they need to be concerned. And just to mention here as well that in order to attend a triple assessment clinic, patients must first attend their GP because we must receive a referral. You can't just walk in for a triple assessment clinic. And then we triage the letters based on urgency from the GP.
Okay. And I suppose following on from triple assessment, that's at that point we might get a diagnosis of breast cancer. So when the diagnosis happens, there's a multiple range of treatments that somebody might be able to receive, which we have covered a couple of different types with Professor Carney, but we might ask you to just cover some surgery options that are available to patients, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure, Amory, no problem. So I suppose when it comes to removing breast cancer with surgery, there's two main types of surgery. One is breast conserving surgery. So you may also have heard this called a wide local excision or a lumpectomy. And the other is a mastectomy. So what breast conserving surgery then is where a portion of the breast is removed. So the aim of this surgery is to remove the cancer and a margin of healthy cells around the cancer. And I suppose the main advantage of this type of surgery is that patients get to keep their breast. However, they will require radiation treatment in order to complete their cancer treatment. Patients who are having breast conserving surgery may sometimes require a magnet or a wire to be put into the breast prior to their surgery. And this is just in order to locate the cancer for the surgeon, particularly if the cancer is not palpable. A mastectomy then is where the breast is removed, the entire breast. So understandably, this can have an even greater emotional and psychological impact on patients. Your breasts are part of a lady's femininity and their sexuality. So certainly it can be an incredibly upsetting time for patients to have a mastectomy. But any ladies that mastectomy is recommended, the option of reconstruction will always be discussed. So your surgeon and your breast care nurse will be there as well, and they will give you plenty of information about breast reconstruction and certainly give you plenty of time to digest and decide if this is an option that you want to explore. There's a few factors, I suppose, that determine whether somebody would have a lumpectomy or a mastectomy. So, for example, the size of the lump compared to the size of the breast. So if it was quite a large lump in, let's say, an A or a B cup breast, aesthetically, a mastectomy would be a better option for that patient. Also, depending on the position of the lump in the breast, if there's more than one area of breast cancer within that one breast, and particularly if the areas are far apart, a mastectomy would probably be the better option in this case. If the nipple is involved, and particularly if there was quite a lot of tissue behind the nipple involved, and a history of breast cancer. So any ladies that have had breast cancer and radiotherapy before, a mastectomy will definitely be recommended because they can't have radiation twice to the same breast. And quite often patient choice. I would sometimes meet patients who just decide, that's it, I don't want radiation, for example, or they don't want that breast anymore because it has had cancer in it. So certainly a patient's choice would be taken into consideration. But as much as possible, really the preference would be for breast conserving surgery where it's safe to do so. I suppose I just want to mention here as well that when patients are having their surgery, they will have some patients with a cancer diagnosis will have some nose removed at the same time. So if pre-surgery tests show that the lymph nodes look okay, they will have what's called a sentinel lymph node biopsy. So that's where two or three lymph glands would be removed. And if pre-surgery tests show that there is actually cancer in those lymph glands, they'll have what's called an axillary clearance, so the removal of multiple nodes in the axilla.
We'll get back to our conversation in just a moment. We wanted to take a minute to talk to you about gut health. Please don't let digestive problems affect your summer plans. As the temperatures rise and our lifestyles get so much busier, it's really, really important to take care of your gut health because this contributes to your overall health and wellness. You can pop into your local CarePlus pharmacy for expert advice on how to improve your digestive issues and also check out the wide range of supplements and treatments on offer. Now back to our conversation. Brilliant. And then how would a patient prepare for this kind of surgery, a lumpectomy or a mastectomy?
Yeah, well, I suppose I always say that most important thing, firstly, is that patients are fully informed as to the type of surgery they're having and as to why they're having it. So initially, when you're met for your diagnosis, you'll be met by your breast surgeon, and your breast care nurse will be there as well. And I suppose it's not unusual for patients that just shut down when they're originally given their diagnosis. They hear the word cancer and then that's all they hear. Yeah. And I suppose that would be a large part of my role, is that I would meet those patients afterwards. I'd reiterate what the surgeon has said and certainly give them my contact details. And as I say, that's what I deal with a lot, as patients who, as I said, they just shut down and they just don't hear anymore from what the surgeon has said. I would also say to patients, don't be afraid to ask questions. We really do understand that this is a whole new experience for many people. So I often encourage patients to even come back to clinic with their questions written down. And your surgeon will be very happy, your breast care nurse will be very happy to go through that with you, because it is a very daunting and challenging time for patients. Just with regard to the surgery then, it really is important to be as emotionally and physically prepared as possible. And really to try and remain as calm and relaxed as possible, which I know is not always easy when you've just been hit with a cancer diagnosis. But the more relaxed you can be going into surgery, the better the outcome for you, really. Mm. Also, just generally trying to be healthy in the run-up to your surgery, gentle exercise, even getting out for a walk, eating well, a healthy, well-balanced diet, and to avoid too much processed food and too much alcohol. But the most important thing is just to be kind to yourself, and plenty of self-care, and just to try and surround yourself with as many positive people as you can. And really, I suppose, to know where to reach out for, what sort of resources to go to reach out to. There's plenty of help out there. There's plenty of good resources out there. And it's just to make sure that you're accessing the correct information. I often advise patients actually not to do too much Googling. Yeah. Because I've had patients come in an awful state where they've ended up Googling something that had nothing to do with their diagnosis whatsoever. Absolutely. So just to be careful
you see that as well,
I'm sure. Mm. Yeah. Just to make sure they're accessing the correct information. Just with regard to the surgery, I just want to mention that surgery and smoking do not go at all. I've seen patients, unfortunately, who have the wounds don't heal, they end up getting infections, and certainly patients who've had breast reconstruction. I've seen patients lose their reconstructions where they smoke, so it just does not go with smoking. And just really from a practical point of view, I suppose the main things for patients coming in for surgery is a pyjamas, ideally, that opens down the front so we can check your wound after the surgery. A non-wired bra, so it doesn't have to be any particular make or brand, just a non-wired bra. Mm-hmm. Ideally, again, if it can open down the front, it's just a little bit easier for patients. And for patients who are having a mastectomy and no reconstruction, we would advise you to get a little bra with a pocket in it where we can put in a soft prosthesis after your surgery, and then you'll get two complementary bras then about 6 weeks after surgery. So the breast care nurse will advise you of all of that. And also just to pack some toiletries, ideally, that can just help to freshen you up. When you've had your surgery, we ideally want you to keep the wound dry for 2 days. So just some toiletries that can help to freshen you up after surgery.
Brilliant. That's really useful. And what about patients who do opt for reconstruction then? What are their surgical options?
Yeah, so there's, I suppose, two main surgery options then for patients who decide to go down the route of breast reconstruction. One is direct implant, so a silicone implant. And the other would be autologous reconstruction. So this is taking skin or muscle from the patient's own body to reconstruct the breast. So the most common sites for this would be the abdomen, the thigh, or the upper back. So as you can imagine, there's pros and cons to both. With the implant-only reconstruction, the pros would be it's only one scar. So where the surgeon makes the incision to remove the breast tissue, he uses the same scar to put the implant in. The surgery takes less time. And it's more straightforward, I suppose, because you really are only going in through the one scar and you're not taking tissue from anywhere else. Mm. The cons with the breast reconstruction using an implant then, they don't last forever. So you're looking at about a 10 to 12 year lifespan on an implant. And also they are a potential infection risk because it's a foreign body within you. However, you will be, any patients that are having implant reconstruction will be given prophylactic antibiotics in order to prevent this. Using your own tissue then, so patients who have their own tissue used to reconstruct the breast, the pros for that really is generally they tend to look and feel more natural, and they won't need to be replaced. So once the reconstruction is done, it's there for life. And they do tend to behave a little bit more like the rest of the body. So if a patient gains weight or loses weight, they can fluctuate then accordingly. The cons then with using your own tissue is the surgery, as you can imagine, takes longer. Also, you're going to have multiple scars. You're going to have the mastectomy scar and the scar from your donor site. And some people do experience muscle weakness after using breast reconstruction from the donor site. They can tend to experience weakness. So we will always make sure we get a physio involved for patients. But certainly recent study trends do show a transition in favouring implant-based reconstruction. And I would certainly see that in practice myself. So I suppose when deciding then on the type of reconstruction, it really does depend on an individual's diagnosis and really does depend on patient choice. But for the most part, patients who can avail of immediate reconstruction tend to opt for this. But there are an occasion where patients, it would be recommended that they wait until after their cancer treatment in order to proceed with their breast reconstruction. And some of the reasons for this could be the stage of the breast cancer, the individual's medical condition, or if they needed further cancer treatment, for example, if they needed radiation, that this could all be a reason to delay it. And then I suppose I would see patients who just can't decide on whether or not they want to have breast reconstruction. It's overwhelming enough being told that you have breast cancer and then they just can't decide if reconstruction is what they want there and then. So certainly these patients could do what's called a delayed reconstruction and wait until after all their cancer treatment. Sometimes patients also want to speak to somebody who's had breast reconstruction done. So if you ask your breast care nurse, she can certainly point you in the direction or set up an appointment for you to see somebody. But I suppose the important thing just to highlight really is that the number one is that your cancer is dealt with. And as much as having a breast reconstruction can have a really positive psychological impact on women, it really is a very personal choice also, but their cancer treatment has to come first. Mm-hmm. So once the surgery is done then, you'll be very closely monitored by the nurses on the ward. You'll have a nurse assigned to you, and your breast care nurse will see you daily and your breast surgeon will also see you every day. So you'll certainly, most importantly, want to wear a bra, a support bra, day and night for 6 weeks after your breast reconstruction. So this is really, really important. We want to make sure that the skin knits, all the internal dissolvable stitches do their job. So really important that you have that bra on. Your breast care nurse can certainly help you with this. We also advise no heavy lifting or driving for 6 weeks. So just to take it as easy as possible, you'll see a physio after your surgery and they will explain how much you can and can't do. You'll also need to be on regular analgesia after your surgery, and this is really just to make sure that you don't get any chronic long-term pain. So again, you can just follow the guidance of the breast care nurse when it comes to your pain relief. And I suppose just for patients who, maybe anyone listening out there who is deciding to go down this route, it's really important to be realistic. You know, a breast reconstruction, the aim is in a bra, in your clothes, that patients will look symmetrical. But certainly a breast reconstruction will not look or feel like your own breast. And once you're out of a bra, the reconstructed breast is going to sit higher on the chest. And as I said, it won't feel the same, and you will have very much have a loss of sensation there. But certainly, as I said, it can have a huge positive psychological impact for patients to have a breast reconstruction. And there's loads of additional procedures that can be done then to make the breast look more realistic, like nipple reconstruction and nipple tattooing. And that can all be done in stages after your cancer treatment.
Brilliant. Thanks, Amelia. And how long is the recovery process? Well, you kind of covered that really, usually about 6 weeks.
Yeah, so about 6 to 8 weeks after surgery, would be. But patients do tend to recover really, really well.
Brilliant. And what kind of follow-up care will the patient have after surgery?
Yeah, so after surgery, as I said, most patients do tend to do really, really well after surgery. And everything will be done to make sure you're as comfortable as possible when you're back on the ward. And your breast care nurse, as I said, will see you every day. So she'll give you plenty of tips and tricks in order to make sure that you have a seamless recovery. So just a few things that you'll have after your surgery. One is obviously a wound dressing. So depending again on your surgeon, depending on the hospital, will depend on what sort of dressing you'll have on, but it's usually an adhesive waterproof dressing. We do advise that you try and keep it dry for 48 hours after the surgery, just to give everything a chance to set. And then depending on the type of surgery, you may have a pain pump. So certainly patients who have bigger auxiliary surgery or mastectomy would have a pain pump. So there's two main types. One is a patient controlled pump and the other is a self-infusing pump, and you'll also be on regular pain meds. In the very rare event that your pain isn't controlled, we would get a pain team involved, and I think most hospitals have a pain team now. But patients' pain usually isn't an issue after surgery. For ladies then that have a mastectomy or multiple lymph nodes removed, they would have a drain in. So this is a really, really simple drain to manage. I know it can be quite daunting for patients at the thought of going home with these, but usually, again, it'll depend on your surgeon, but usually patients go home with these for about 2 to 3 weeks. So your breast care nurse will educate you on how to use it while you're in the hospital. So you'll get plenty of time to practice that when you're in, and you will go home with it. You will need to wear a support bra, as I said there earlier, post-op, and ideally this is for 6 weeks. And most women actually find it's more comfortable, no matter what sort of breast surgery they've had done, to wear it day and night after their surgery. And just really, I suppose, to mention here as well, you know, patients can find it quite difficult to look at their wound, no matter what sort of breast surgery they've had, but particularly for ladies who've had a mastectomy. So obviously there's no pressure to look, and it's all, you know, in their own time. Just with regard to a few complications then that can arise after surgery, bruising and swelling is really, really normal, and this usually subsides after a few days. Seroma is another issue that can arise after surgery. So this is generally once the drain comes out. It's just a collection of fluid, and really it's very simple to drain this, but it can happen after surgery. It's very normal to happen, but your breast care nurse will explain all of that to you, and before you go home she'll explain exactly what you need to look out for. I suppose I just want to mention here as well that patients who have lymph nodes removed from their surgery, it's really normal to get a numb, kind of tingling, altered sensation in the armpit. And this is really where the surgeon has removed, it's just to do with nerves really in the underarm, where the surgeon has removed lymph nodes. And this again will all subside with time. So it's very, very normal to have that after surgery.
And the drain that they have put in, do they come back to the hospital where they have
They come back, exactly. Yeah. So sometimes it's ready to come out and they come back for their outpatient appointments in about 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. If not, the breast care nurse is liaising with the patients. We liaise very closely with patients, in fairness, when they go home. But usually 2 to 3 weeks, so they'll come back to the breast care nurse.
Perfect. That's great. And then what should patients really do at home to support themselves? Should they kind of ease up on housework, holding kids, things? Is there stuff like that they should do straight after surgery, or what do you recommend?
Yes, I suppose there's obviously the physical end of recovery, but there's a huge emotional side to recovery as well when it comes to breast cancer. And I suppose really that's the biggest part, as far as I'm concerned, is the emotional recovery from it. So really this is why it's so important that patients are, you know, if they can, have good family support. Reaching out, knowing who to reach out for, to the likes of support centres, and just knowing the support services that they can access, and surrounding themselves with positive people, because it really can vary from person to person on how much this impacts on them. Often after surgery, I suppose patients feel a huge sense of relief that the surgery is over, but they're still very concerned because they're waiting to come back to get the results of their surgery. And I suppose there's a huge sense of vulnerability around discharge as well, because they've had the security of doctors and nurses in the hospital, and now they're going home on their own. But certainly, as I said there, your breast care nurse is very much involved in your care. But yeah, as you were saying there, Michelle, about housework, certainly from a practical point of view, if patients can be helped with the likes of housework, general household duties, with their meals, that sort of thing, it can certainly help. But I would have patients who go home on their own, and they're fine. I suppose you're just advised really in the initial few weeks after surgery not to carry anything too heavy, not to do too much strenuous exercises, but we certainly do recommend a low level of activity, and it's really important that patients are up and moving and not lying or sitting for long periods. So I suppose what you don't want to do is jeopardize the healing of the wound, which could lead to infection and then a delay in treatment. But yeah, most patients actually do really well physically post-op.
So what follow-up will a patient have?
So after surgery then, the first appointment will be about 2 weeks after the surgery, which, look, we really do appreciate that this can be a painfully long wait for patients, because obviously they're waiting to know what's happening next. So it can be a painfully long wait, but I can assure you there's plenty of work been done behind the scenes. So all the breast tissue that was taken away in the surgery has been analysed in the lab. All images, so your mammogram, ultrasound, they're all been reviewed by the radiology doctors. And then each patient that has surgery has their case discussed at a multidisciplinary meeting. So this is a specialist breast team where they get together every week and discuss each patient, and then a plan of care is devised for them. So that's just in order to make sure that the best mode of treatment is designed for each patient. So that could include chemotherapy, radiotherapy, or hormone therapy. So when you come back for that appointment, your surgeon will advise you exactly what the plan is and what options are best for you. I do tend to recommend that patients bring a plus one with them to that clinic. Now, I know the whole coronavirus, some clinics may not allow that. And if that's the case, your breast care nurse will certainly reiterate everything afterwards for you. And if you would like your breast care nurse to speak to a family member, that's absolutely no problem either. So follow up then after that would be every 6 months for 2 years you would see your breast doctor, and then yearly up to 5 years. And certainly any patients with a diagnosis of breast cancer will require a yearly mammogram.
Okay. For lifelong?
For life. Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks a million. It's really clear. Really clear. Honestly. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Answers for Cancers podcast. Please share this podcast with anybody who you think it might help. Also, if you can like and subscribe, it lets people know we're here. You can alternatively contact us on Instagram at theanswersforcancers_podcast. And if you have any questions on anything that we discussed today, please email us at theanswersforcancerspodcast@gmail.com